This is Dr. Dwayne Thysel. I'm interviewing Mrs. Beatrice Duncan, widow of Dr. James Duncan, who practiced in Moorhead from 1930 till about 1975. This is an oral history program from the Moorhead State Heritage Group, and we're in 11 different categories, and this is a category of medicine. I'm one of the interviewers to interview medical people. I'm going to ask Mrs. Beatrice Duncan a series of questions, and she's going to answer them. When was Dr. Duncan born, and where? Where did you live during your childhood? Where did you go to school? I'm going to hand this sheet back and forth so she's got some things written down here.
Okay. Jim was Dr. Duncan was born in Fargo in 1901, and he went to the Fargo public schools, and he graduated from high school and went to Fargo College for 2 years. Fargo College was where the Western Insurance Company was, and it closed in 1922. At that time, I taught a year. And Jim went to NDSU for his last 2 years of college.
You told me, I guess. No, I did, you didn't answer this yet. Where did you live when you went to school? That is, I guess, where were you born? Where did you live as a child? And where did you graduate from high school?
I was born and raised till I was 14 in a small town in northern Minnesota, about 6 miles north of Halleck. We went to high school for 3 years at Glendon, Minnesota, and then we moved to Moorhead in 1920, where I went to Fargo College 2 years. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2 years, I taught a year and then finished two of my college work at NDSU.
You were telling me today that you taught two places in North Dakota. Was it Page and another place?
I taught at Page and Gardner.
Mm-hmm. And where did Jim go to school? You told me NDSU and Fargo College. Mm-hmm. And his medical...
He went up to Grand Forks for his first 2 years of medicine. Then he stayed the third year and taught in the medical school.
Uh-huh.
Then he went to and finished his medicine at Rush Medical School in Chicago.
And interned?
And interned at Anchor Hospital, which now is Ramsey Hospital.
Mm-hmm. And he came to Moorhead in 1930, I believe.
1930, mm-hmm.
What prompted him to go into medicine?
Well, his sister had leukemia for 7 years, and the family doctor at that time was Dr. Kent Darrow, who was just starting out practicing. And through Dr. Kent Darrow, he became interested in medicine.
I know he told me he thought a lot of Dr. Darrow,
yes, he did.
He was a doctor when his sister was sick with leukemia.
His sister was 6-7 years with leukemia.
Were there any more than a two in the family, Jim and the sister?
Yes.
Has he got a brother or sister living
and then,
there?
And then he had adopted, after his sister died, then they adopted, folks adopted another little girl.
Oh, yeah. He thought of specializing at one time, didn't he? Will you tell me something about that?
Yes, he was going to specialize. I kind of forget what it was now. Anyway,
you told me urology.
Urology, that was it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he went down, they promised him that they would place him, and he went down, and when he got there, they hadn't placed the doctor before him and said he had to wait.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got disgusted and came back and went in with Dr. Thysel.
Mm-hmm. And that lasted from 1930, I know, and Dr. Thysel got Fred Thysel. I'm Dr. Thysel too, but Dr. Fred was my uncle.
Mm-hmm.
He went in with Dr. Fred Thysel in August 1930. They were together until 1947, and Dr. Thysel became ill and had to retire from medical practice, and Dr. Duncan was in practice by himself until 1975.
Five.
Then. Uh-huh. He practiced alone then from that time on. And who worked for Dr. Thysel and Duncan when he started in 1930 and from then on?
Agnes...
Berg.
Agnes Berg was the office girl and nurse until Jim quit practicing.
Mm-hmm. There was a Nora Jorgensen there earlier, I think.
Yes, she was there when Jim first started.
But Selma Zachariasen.
Yes, and then Selma was there. Selma stayed on until Dr. Thysel quit.
Uh-huh. And you got some notes here about it was depression times, low salaries, something about meat, fowl. Oh, we got bills were paid with meat and fowl.
Yes. Sometimes it was good and sometimes it wasn't.
Yeah, that's true. I know that. I was in Holly at that time from 34 and on, and money was pretty scarce. A lot of people out of work and a lot of people in WPA. Can you think of any especially interesting things in Jim's life as a family doctor in Moorhead? He did a lot of surgery. He used other hospitals besides St. Ansgar's. Did he make a lot of house calls?
Yes, he made many, many house calls. Mm-hmm. When he was with Dr. Thysel, Dr. Thysel insisted on having evening office hours.
Yeah.
And then that meant after the office hours in the evening, they had to make house calls. And they made many, many house calls in the country. People didn't come in to town like they did in the recent years.
No. I know the same thing in Holly. I could just about name every house in Holly and the area surrounding that I had been in, but making a house call. You note here he delivered his three children and all his grandchildren?
He delivered nine of his grandchildren.
Yeah, that's interesting.
My children, our children, and our grandchildren were all born in St. Ansgar's.
He used St. Ansgar's mostly, I know, but I know that he and Dr. Fred Thysel used St. John's to some extent, too, and I suppose occasionally St. Luke's. But St. Ansgar's was their hospital. It was in the north end of Moorhead, and their office was downtown Moorhead, the Center Avenue, for most of the years in practice. Jim's hobbies, lake, cottage, did he like fishing?
He liked spearing.
Liked spearing fish.
And he always had a good fish house.
Yeah.
In fact, it was so large, all his friends called it Jim's dance hall.
On Lake Melissa.
Yes.
What about his college years? I know he was outstanding in baseball, basketball, football, and had letters in all of them.
And yes, baseball, track, and basketball. He didn't play football at NDSU, but he played it at Fargo College because they didn't have enough men and he had to go out.
Did he go 2 years at Fargo College before he went to?
Yes, 2 years at Fargo College before NDSU.
NDSU? He was outstanding, especially in baseball. He was a good baseball pitcher and made his way through medical school and other schooling by playing baseball. He pitched for many teams around the area. Will you go into that a little bit? I think you told me on the way over here that he pitched 2 years for Barnesville.
Over 2 years for Barnesville, 2 years for Kindred.
Uh-huh.
And then he pitched just weekends. He had a friend over in Fargo, Steve Gorman, and he would line him up with many games for the weekend.
Did he pitch for the FM Twins then?
He pitched for the FM Twins either 1 or 2 years.
Uh-huh. I know I graduated from high school in 1926, and Gus Lindblom was our coach and teacher there, and he was supposed to go up to the Detroit Tigers in the American League that summer. And Holly played Barnesville, and Lindblom was pitching for Holly, and Dr. Duncan was pitching for Barnesville, and Barnesville beat Holly 12-0. But later on, Gus Lindblom pitched a pretty good game. He pitched against the Bertha All-Stars, and John Donaldson pitched a no-hit, no-run game, and Lindblom pitched a three-hit game. So I can remember that from about that time. Dr. Jim Duncan also liked to bowl. He was a good bowler for years.
I think that was his the sport that he really enjoyed the most. I said we would never be able to take a winter trip because he would never give up his bowling.
No.
And he really enjoyed bowling.
I know he maintained 180 or better average all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
He told me personally, he said, I was having trouble bowling. I couldn't bowl nearly as good as he could. And I used to aim for the pocket. He says, aim for the head pin, and if you're a little bit off, you'll go in the pocket. So he always gave me that same advice. He liked to play ping pong, too, and he could usually beat everybody about 20 or 30 years younger than him.
Yes, he enjoyed that.
Played a little golf, I think. Our cottage was close to the golf
course. He always had season tickets at the Detroit Lakes Country Club.
Our cottage was close by there.
Yes, we just had to walk across the backyard to get to the country club.
Even the other note here, he started at 118. Is that football or baseball, pitching baseball?
He started when he was a senior in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And he pitched down at Detroit Lakes, and they were going to pay him, and he wouldn't take it because he's afraid that he wouldn't be able to pitch in college if he was paid.
Yeah.
And so they gave him a pair of shoes.
Oh. Also, you were telling me that he played on the prison team at Bismarck. Will you go into that a little bit?
Well, they had a Western League, a baseball league, and the prison team played in that, they were tied for first place. Mm-hmm. And so they hired Jim to go out and pitch for him in the final game. And so it was quite an experience for him to have dinner in the prison. And he pitched a ball, and they won. And so they gave him a baseball with all the team's names on it, and I still have the baseball.
That's interesting. Family life, you have three children, two girls and a boy. One of your children, Barbara, has been teaching at Concordia in biology for quite a few years.
Oh, yes, about 24 years.
Your older daughter was in around Chicago and had passed away recently.
Yes, a year ago.
And Jim is in town here, the boy.
Yes, he's in town.
Works for the city of Moorhead.
Yeah.
Family life, children's social life, lodges, church, travel. Do you want to go into anything? He liked to bowl, so he didn't like to travel as much. It took him away from the area.
But we made all the tournaments.
Yeah, he made
two. We went to Chicago to the National a couple times.
State basketball tournaments in Minneapolis.
Yes, and we went to, and of course he was a doctor for the high school athletic department for 45 years.
Yeah, that's right. He used to go to most of the high school games in town basketball and football.
And football, it wasn't always pleasant because he didn't dare leave a game until it was over with in case somebody got hurt. And lots of times we were the only two left in the stands because it was either snowing or raining.
Oh, yeah. As far as bowling, he was telling me he got a kick out of this. One time he was bowling, and it's when they had pin setters were people instead of automatic, and the ball had flown up and hit somebody's face, one of the pin setters. He got a cut on his face or forehead. Jim was called away from bowling. I guess they let him go because when he got up to fix the wound, sew up the little wound, he sewed it up and went back and was able to finish his bowling. A few days later, when the fellow came in to get the stitches out, he says, "How did that happen?" He says, "Oh, Dr. Humphrey was bowling and hit me." So Dr. Humphrey got the blame for it. But Jim got a kick out of it because he was the one.
And I know once he was called out on a confinement case when he was bowling.
Yeah.
And they let him bowl I don't know how many frames.
Yeah.
And then he went up and delivered the baby and got back for the last of it.
Finished it. Yeah. He was very interested in sports and school activities as a spectator. B. Duncan just said that he went to most all the games, and both here and down to the Minneapolis. Also, he traveled around a little bit around with the bowling team, didn't he?
Oh, yes. We went to all the tournaments, in like Alexandria, Fergus Falls, Minneapolis. And as I said, we went to the National a couple times in Chicago.
On his bowling team was your brother, wasn't it?
Yes, he had a...
Right to?
My brother was on the team.
Right.
And
Wint Johnson?
Wint Johnson was on the team.
Yeah.
And Wright...
Wright, Undertaker.
Was it Edgar Wright? Wright.
I'm not sure. The father, probably. Jim was always very even-tempered, confident, and able as a surgeon. He was a good surgeon. He was a family doctor, but he got into doing a lot of surgery because it was a stage before specialization. When the early days in practice, I was in Hawley from 34 on, and they were, he and my uncle, Dr. Fred Thysel, were in Moorhead from Jim from 30 on, and Dr. Fred Thysel before that. And they got into a lot of surgery. I know I'd bring cases up from Hawley, and they would do with the surgery, and I would assist them on the surgery. As far as organizations, he belonged to the Eagles, didn't he?
Eagles and Elks.
Elks.
Mm-hmm.
Congregational Church?
A Congregational Church. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Jim always seemed in good health until his last illnesses.
Well, he was sick, you know, for about 2 years before he was down with cancer, mm-hmm. when he had his lungs filled with blood clots.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes, he was in the hospital. He was seriously ill then for about a week.
I think he wondered himself whether he was going to get through that.
Yes.
But he did, and he went back and bowled a little bit again and bowled about
as good as ever.
He
bowled till he couldn't stand
yeah.
up.
Then he got sick later on with his terminal illness. When was it he passed away?
1977.
1977, uh-huh.
When he was 75.
75, uh-huh. Can you think of anything else about him or about your life with him as a doctor's wife?
Well, I could never depend on him, that was for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have a party and perhaps he'd get home to say goodbye to him.
Yeah.
And that was in the early years when he had to make house calls in the country and very few people came into the office.
Uh-huh.
Night confinements out in the country with kerosene lights.
I know for a fact that they worked a lot of hours in the evening, and I wondered how they had took it. I was in Hawley all this from 1934 on. Jim was with Dr. Fred Thysel 1930 on, and my uncle, Dr. Fred Thysel, liked to work evenings, and Jim went along with it, I guess.
Well, I guess he quit soon as Dr. Thysel couldn't work any longer. He didn't have any more office hours at night.
Dr. Fred and Dr. Jim got along real well.
Yes, they did. They had a very good relationship.
Don't ever remember hearing anything about any problems they had.
No.
No. They had an x-ray equipment down there, took a lot of x-rays and fluoroscopy. In fact, I think Jim Duncan got some hand trouble because of the effects of x-rays on his hand.
He had cancer in two fingers that had to be removed.
He used to have them bandaged up for a while there, I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to quit going to the emergency
room.
Yes, it
was his last few years of practicing that he had the two fingers removed.
Yeah. When I come to Moorhead in 1960, there were six of us rotating weekend emergency room. It was Dr. Rice, Dr. Carlson, Dr. Holton, Olga Johnson, and myself. And I know Olga Johnson retired, I think it was in 68, and Jim had to retire because his fingers were...
He couldn't do any surgery. He had office hours, but he didn't do any surgery after that.
And Dr. Rice retired in 1972. Moorhead was only about 7,000 people in 1930 when Jim Duncan began practice, and it is now about 30,000. He began practice in the era of Dr. Fred Thysel, Dr. Humphrey Niggerbutson, Dr. Bottleson, Dr. Gosley, Dr. Bergheim in Hawley, Dr. C.W. Simonson in Hawley, Carl Simonson, Dr. Simonson in Hawley's son, who was in Barnesville. Dr. Seitz was in Barnesville until he died in 1953. Dr. Dwayne Thysel, myself, I was in Hawley from 1934 on. Dr. Bothany and Megan were in Yulin. Dr. Bothany died in 1938, and Dr. Megan in 1935. Dr. Ahern was a retired doctor during all the time that I was around, and during Jim's time, too. He lived in Hawley until he died. And there was a Dr. Casmy who practiced in the office in Moorhead. He didn't use the hospital. Now there are many, many more doctors in the area. In the 1940s, Dr. Rice came, Dr. Burt, Dr. Snyder, Dr. Oliver, and others. Can you think of anything we should mention about experiences of these doctors?
Dr. Oliver's, of course, yeah, we're very close friends of ours.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I also have a note, he also works with Dr. Kent Darrow. He also called Dr. Fortin for bone cases. He thought a lot of Dr. Fortin's work.
Yes, Dr. Uh-huh. Fortin.
And later on, Dr. Jim did do a lot of bone surgery himself. I know the cases I'd bring up to Hawley that required surgery, I didn't feel like I was a surgeon myself, but I assisted on these cases, and Dr. Fred Thysel and Dr. Duncan did a lot of appendectomies on my patients with me assisting, and gallbladder surgery and cesarean sections. But Dr. Jim Duncan was especially good at bone surgery. Older people would fracture their hip bone or the long bone of the leg just in the hip area. And the usual procedure was to put a metal plate in there and for support until we got, and most of the time it was permanently, sometimes they were removed. Anyway, Dr. Duncan was good at this surgery, and I brought several cases of such cases to him during the several years that we used general practitioners, and later on the specialists took over this field. But Dr. Jim did a lot of this work before it became more the usual thing to bring it to specialists. Well, I can't think of anything more right now.
No, I don't either.
You want to say that again?
He was very good with the children and with older people. And when he gave hypos to children, he hid the needle in his hand. He had a good-sized hand. And he gave the hypos very fast, something like throwing a ball.
And, used to being a pitcher.
Yes, and they didn't realize that it was over with, and it was, and so it was.
Yeah, and you said he was also good with older people.
He was very good with older people.
Well, he had a very easy disposition. He just looked unhurried or unworried, and so yeah. I think people had a lot of confidence in him.
He was never in a hurry. I've sat out in the car in the country waiting for him while he was, after he was through seeing the patient, he was having coffee. And I'd be waiting in the car for him. So he never hurried.
No, that is pretty characteristic of him. He seemed to be always unhurried and unworried.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.